Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I did not plan to do this, however, as part of a different exercise that I was doing with Hyper-V, I decided to dig into Windows 11, if only so that I'm aware of it. I have not installed it. I purposely held off installing it because I don't think, first of all, Microsoft switched strategies on people, which I'm not agreeing with, because there was one point where they said that Windows 10 was going to be the last operating system they're going to release, and everything's just going to be an upgrade, and we're just going to patch Windows 10, and we're not going to worry about it. And then here comes Windows 11. And, you know, to be honest, I expected they would do it. I just would hope that they would stop jumping from tool to tool to tool. They killed Windows Phone, which was a big mistake at the wrong time. And then they released Windows 11 after saying they were never going to do another operating system. Their business, they're going to do what they're going to do. I'm just disappointed that they chose that outlet as opposed to just fixing what they currently have. And frankly, there's nothing wrong with Windows 10, especially now. I think it's one of the best operating systems that I've used. They did a good job with it. There are some things I don't like about it, but generally speaking, I'm comfortable with Windows 10, more so certainly than Windows 8 or 8.1. Even now, I think Windows 7 still holds the title of being like the cream of the crop once they got a service pack out. But I think Windows 10, they did a pretty good job with what they had, and they were in the right direction. Windows 11 is essentially an evolution on what they started with Windows 10. But from my, and here's where this the review begins, from my perspective, I don't understand the need for Windows 11. When I say that, I'm saying I looked at the interface, I looked at the experience, I clicked around, I saw what they pre-installed, I saw the installation steps, all of this. I get it, but I don't understand who it's for. I don't understand what it's designed to do that Windows 10 does not do. Arguably, I don't see a fit. Now, if you know Microsoft's history, you know that they've had challenges getting operating systems to behave, right? So, you know, whether it's Windows Millennium, which was a nightmare, versus Windows XP, which was solid eventually, but at first it was horrible. And then Vista initially was garbage. Vista, that initial rollout and the computers with CompUSA and Circuit City, it was a whole nightmare with Vista. Eventually, by the time we got to Service Pack 2, it was one of my favorite operating systems, period, bar none. Windows 7 comes out, and for the most part, 7 was reasonably stable. It was certainly better than Vista, and then it was Service Pack 1 that really made Windows 7 kind of the par standard. It was stable, it was clean, you could run it on, you know, a turnip truck if you had to. It was a great operating system. Then comes Windows 8, it's a nightmare. 8.1 is certainly better, but it's not great, but it's better than what 8 did, right? And then here comes Windows 10. The early Windows 10 is a little bit sketchy and buggy. They forced Cortana and did all this. And so then they stabilized Windows 10, and so now arguably stable operating system is Windows 10, and then Windows 11 shows up out of nowhere. Nobody expected it because, as I said, Microsoft had said multiple times that Windows 10 was going to be the last operating system, and they were just going to basically deploy updates to it for the newer hardware, newer operating systems. But then 11 comes out, and I wouldn't say it's dramatically different. This is where the review starts, but I would say it's different enough that I struggle now to understand, when I look at the two, what the purpose or intent of Windows 11 really is, because of what it's presenting itself as. So if you get a chance to dig into Windows 11, I do implore you to. Now, of course, I wouldn't say upgrade your primary computer, because obviously that would be a bad idea. Because on the track record path, if we're following the track record path, we are on schedule to get a terrible operating system. I'm not saying 11 will be. I'm saying if we follow the pattern, then Windows 11 would be the bad one. If you're good enough with computers that you know what I mean when I say Hyper-V, I would suggest you spin up Hyper-V. You can spin up a Windows 11 environment and kind of play the tires with it. It's Windows 11 Enterprise, so you're not going to have like a home-based experience, but at least you can see the operating system in play at no charge rather than do your primary computer or do some secondary backup computer or something else. I would not do your primary computer under any means. Most new computers may decide to deploy with Windows 11, which is what kind of scares me, because that's what tanked Circuit City in particular, was deploying all those boxes with Vista out the gate, and it was a nightmare. I'm hoping there's a rollback path to go to Windows 10 for people who are not comfortable with 11 until it's strong and stable, given past history. But when I got into the Windows 11 interface, again, the biggest murmur from people was the fact that the you know, the Windows button, menu button was moved to the center instead of off to the left. And I think Nadella talked about why that was. I didn't watch that because I didn't care, because I don't think it really affects anything in terms of the flow of the computer at all. And for some people, it might actually be preferred. Who knows? It tells me that they're trying to gear up towards a tablet mentality, because having it in the center is more tablet friendly than having it off to the left. Okay. But then in the interface itself, I didn't see tablet friendly anything, hardly. The Explorer is basically the same Explorer, but it's stripped down. If you ever use OneNote, there are two different OneNotes. There's OneNote 2016, which is the full OneNote. Then there's the OneNote app, which is what you get if you download it from the store. The OneNote app is, it's garbage, but outside of that, the way that it looks, that's what the Explorer looks now. It's not using the full ribbon. It's a stripped-down ribbon. It's a generic, you know, so you don't have the same buttons, which that's fine because many of them didn't go used, but then it's harder to find certain lesser used functions that may be of relevance to people because of the way that they've kind of grouped and combined and consolidated things. So like, for example, the easy access function, which is where you would map drives or where you would do sync. Many of those are gone. They're hard to find. Easy access to properties, easy access to move things from one folder to another, multi-selects. All these are things that certain people do use, and they're not there. They're not in the obvious display anymore. As well, when I looked at the options, so this would be where you wanted to turn on thumbnails, disable thumbnails, show hidden items, there, that's logically placed, but then it just links you over to the old menu. So they got rid of the whole file concept. Okay, but then that, I don't know why. Like, what are we trying to solve there when we do that? And it seemed like they were just trying to make it friendlier for, again, a tablet interface, because there's less places for you to mistap, if that makes any sense. In the Explorer view, cool, but I would rather you've just done Windows 10 Mobile and done the same thing with Windows 10 Mobile like you started doing, and then just go that path instead of a whole new OS that now other computers are going to have to be upgraded to or forced upgraded to at some point. Then I saw that, you know, Teams is basically in there by default. It's forced in there. You don't have to use it, but it's forced installed. So people who don't even use Teams, it's there. Now, this started a trend, or basically continued a trend, from Skype being forced installed in Windows 10. So I understand, but I don't agree with it, because some people simply don't use it. And so you're just adding extra bloat. When we have computers and devices that only have 128 gigs of RAM, as many do, you're just using up space needlessly. And so I wasn't really a fan of seeing that there. And hopefully that only applies to like the pro and the enterprise, like they're assuming businesses would be using Teams. But many businesses are using Slack, which, to be fair, I can't stand Slack. However, the point is that I think the whoever consumer, whether it's a business consumer or consumer, should choose what tool they want to have in the computer. It almost reminds me way back, people may not remember this because they may not be this old, but way back in the days of Windows 95, Windows 98, Windows XP, and Windows Millennium, I think even, they used to have a tool called Microsoft NetMeeting. NetMeeting was ahead of its time, arguably. It had chat, it had video conferencing, audio calls, so you could do the whole nine. It was what Teams is trying to do now, but it was slick and small, and it was part of the operating system, so you could just use it without having to pay very much extra outside of like a small, I think it was a small fee for audio calls. And so it reminds me of that, where we just default install it in the operating system, hoping that people will just open it up and start using it. So maybe there's a brilliance to having Teams there. I just am not a fan of that kind of forced approach, especially when you had so many years when Internet Explorer was forced on people, only to have Microsoft finally give in, build their own Edge browser, then give up on that, and then go to Chromium and then build Edge over that one. And then now, even the Edge browser, they're having issues with it because Chromium is, people are starting to cater towards like Firefox and Opera. So I'm never a fan of the forced deal. It is what it is, but I'm not a fan of it. The other things I noticed was you can't get quickly to the task manager off the task bar. The task bar menu, when you right click on it, has been dumbed down. The desktop is left the same, but just other areas where you could get to the task manager. If you right click on the Windows button, some of those options are still there. However, the command line, command prompt is now hidden to where you have to basically do a search for command prompt and then run it when you need to. Everything is forced to PowerShell. For those that didn't realize, you can run batch command and those kinds of syntaxes through PowerShell, but it requires you add extra characters to get it to execute, which drive me nuts, because if I already have a batch script that I want to just simply go and look at the script and paste it in there and just run it or debug it, now I have to do extra work to get it to conform to PowerShell, because PowerShell was never built to say, oh, I see you're running command prompt, let me automatically add these characters in there for you. You're forced to do the extra work. It's not a lot of extra work, but it's still extra work. Time is money. So I wasn't a fan of the forced PowerShell, but again, that started in Windows 10 with all their options. But at least in Windows 10, you could switch it back to command prompt if you wanted to. I saw no easy way to do that. The last thing I noticed was that in many of the different options and tools, all they did was basically clean up the interfaces a little bit, make them look more user-friendly. Certainly, they look like they would work well on a tablet, a landscape tablet interface. Many of the options just linked you back to the old shell. So let's say, for example, the apps and features is the new interface pretty much throughout, but it's a lot more functional as opposed to the old days in Windows 10, where when you clicked on certain of the apps or programs, I'm going to call them programs, certain of the programs, it would just show you the shell for the old programs and features entry, and then you would need to scroll down to find the one, right-click, and uninstall. Here, now that entry actually takes you to the uninstaller, which is just a command. So that's good. But then in other places, like say the display options, for example, you do right-click on the desktop, which normally takes you to background images and your resolution options if you have an NVIDIA card, and you can access them straight from there. Now it's a generic menu, and then there's a more options sub option. When you click that, it takes you to the old shell. There is some intuition to the strategy. I'm simply saying I don't see the reason why we needed to do that. What is the problem it's intended to solve? Because if you're going to leave the old shell there, which I like, but if you're going to do that, then on the enterprise side, you might as well have not put the new shell in at all. Maybe make the new shell only on, as I said, your Windows 10 mobile had you not abandoned it. Or in Windows 10, just create a separate, you know, overlay over top of the shell that allows for that seamless, you know, Apple has something similar where you can basically dumb down the interface and make it easier to navigate for like touch screens. I don't know why and Windows 10 has that function built into it, believe it or not, as did Windows 7. So I don't know why they chose the way they did. It's not that it's unintuitive. I think it's intuitive. It's just they're hiding certain options that, you know, somebody up there said, okay, nobody uses this. Rather than, you know, let's think about how people are using the darn thing and let's build an operating system that works according to the target. If you're on an enterprise side, meaning you have an enterprise operating system, it is true that you have your lower level users, but you also have power users. How do we accommodate both of them? To me, you create a view that is for your power users that gives them access to command prompt if they want, gives them access to PowerShell if they want, gives them the full shell if they want, lets them specifically say, I don't want the new experience, and turn it off, which is what you had on the server side. So in server 2008 and 2012, and 2016, you could force it to give you the older experience, so it's a generic look and feel, as opposed to the touch-friendly type interface that I believe it was 2012 tried to push on people at one point. So I'm not against what they're trying to do. I'm saying that they're still not solving the problem, which is to build a different experience based on the target user rather than trying to create one experience that works for everybody. Because you're going to have a subset of people. Like if I think about certification in this thing, people are going to have a hard time certifying in it because so many things have been moved. That's like, okay, where is this now when I know how simple it should be and you've actually made it harder because you moved something that didn't need to be moved. And so now you're dealing with the certification widget and it has certain assumptions built into it. And it's a struggle, unnecessary struggle, instead of keeping things the same way they were or have some more logic as to where and why you move things. So like, for example, maybe you give somebody the choice to keep the ribbon concept because that works better for their flow. Maybe you allow certain people to go back to old menus because that works better for their flow, so on and so forth. The final call out, I'll say, now that they've done this, it doesn't look anything like Microsoft Office like it used to. I have the latest version of Microsoft Office. It fits very nicely into what Windows 10 is doing, because it has the ribbon concept as Windows 10 does in the Explorer view. But now in this new one, if you go into your any of your Office apps, if you have Office, at the top, your ribbon, it by default is probably collapsed, but for some of you, you might have even expanded it. If you know how to collapse that ribbon down, which is a little arrow at the very bottom right, that's what the Explorer looks like now, is basically this condensed deal. The problem is that you can't hit that arrow to bring the ribbon back. So for some people, they may not even notice that it's that they're missing the ribbon. I think most will notice and they'll be disrupted. Their flow will be disrupted initially until they figure out, okay, how do I navigate this one now? The last concern I'll call out is when you have mixed environments, because some businesses are not going to go blast upgrade all Windows 11 at the same time. Some will be able to upgrade certain groups to Windows 11, kind of kick the tires and see how it works. And you have application compatibility, which from what I tested, it didn't seem to be much of a problem. It seemed like everything worked. But you still have to test it for custom applications and so on. And so you're going to have people who are disrupted and they're stumbling around. And so now you have training plans you need to build in order to make sure people get the new knowledge that they need to get up to speed with the new experience as efficiently as possible. So I'm not criticizing the fact that they tried to do something. I'm not against the fact that they tried to do something. I'm simply saying I wish that they had done something a little bit different to think about really how people are using these things rather than just kind of throwing something out there and hoping it sticks, which is what it feels like. It's not a bad interface by any means. I just, for me, it did not seem to flow from what I'm used to in Windows 10 and Windows 7 and Windows 8. Even though it's not dramatically different, there was enough shifted around that even myself, somebody who's a technologist who has certifications in Microsoft operating systems, found it extremely challenging to deal with some of the things they moved. Once I figured it out, it's like, okay, I understand why they did it. It just felt like needless change for the sake of change rather than change to make people more efficient and more effective using the operating system. I will say one nice part for the technical people out there, seeing that you support Bash directly in the operating system, certain people are going to be very excited about that. Now, of course, I am Linux certified. However, I can't stand Linux or anything Linux. So for those that are in Linux and like Linux and are more comfortable with Bash command syntax, I think that's a huge win for you guys, because obviously the disruption of jumping over to a Linux environment simply for comfort reasons isn't ideal. And it seems like Microsoft is more openly welcoming open source and Linux operating system interoperability and things. That opens doors to more application possibilities, because now you're not tethered to the .NET framework, and .NET Core kind of helps bridge the two when you need to. So there's a lot of positive, but it's really more for those that already would have been tech savvy enough to deal with some of the changes, as opposed to being positive for everybody by way of knowing how people are going to use the interface. The last part I'll call out, very last part I'll call out, when you go into certain, like the control panel, certain interfaces, control panel and others, you'll see clearly that they are catering to be touch-friendly to a horizontal touch interface. I don't know if that's a precursor, like they're basically catering it to the Surface, maybe, but I don't agree with it for the same reason I didn't agree with it with Windows 8. I don't think you should cater an operating system like this to a touch interface. You should cater it to a desktop keyboard mouse experience. Then when it detects that it's on a touch interface, it should manipulate itself to be a touch-friendly interface, which Windows 7, I think, had the first iteration of how that could work. Windows 8.1 took it the next level. Windows 10 took it even better. And for whatever reason, we've gone away from that, where we're still trying to force touch-type experiences on regular desktops, which to me doesn't make any sense. And some laptops are still not touchscreen, so it doesn't make sense even if they were. Ergonomically, it doesn't make sense. If you have an all-in-one, I think it's pretty cool, but most all-in-ones, you're not using the touchscreen of it. As a media center, which that was another operating system that was part of XP and Millennium, I think media center-wise, I think it's pretty cool. It has a lot of features for that. I just, again, most people are not using it to that degree. Most people are using it for basic work functions or, you know, research or school or something like that, where you don't need, you shouldn't hide a lot of critical functions behind menus and reorient where things are, because you're just going to slow them down. Eventually they'll get it, but I don't like the disruption in any case when we can avoid it. So that's Windows 11 in my preview. It's not a bad operating system. I just question who's the target for this thing. That's all.